Hi, this is Jeff Muldoor, and you're listening to Sonoma County's public radio station, KRCB Radio 91.
Those youngsters. That's Utopia from an album called Adventures in Utopia, and that song sung by our guest in the studio, Kasim Sultan.
Hi.
Hey, man.
Hi, man.
Thanks for coming.
Well, thanks for having me, Doug. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
How great it is. And, you know, I was telling you when you got here that, you know, Sean was delighted that he asked me to interview you, and I knew who you were, of course.
Yeah.
And being in the record biz, you know, since mid-70s and having a store up here since 83, I was saying that there's really never been a day when I haven't had an album in the store that you're on. I mean, at least one
album. You mean that I'm not on.
Yeah, I mean, there's always, you know, you're always represented somewhere in the store.
I've led a pretty, you know, varied past musically. I'm lucky enough to play on a bunch of different records.
So people that might not recognize your name, Kasim, that's how you spell it. You start typing in it into Google, you're one of the first guys that pop up.
Yeah, I think I'm first or second, right after the mayor from Detroit, who left in a disgrace. So.
Well, perhaps you'll move up a position or two.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah.
So we're happy to have you, and you're here in the area because you're playing tonight at Hotel Utah.
Yeah, I'm playing 8 o'clock tonight at Hotel Utah in San Francisco. And along with a buddy of mine, Bill Spooner, who's opening the show for me.
Do you guys play together at all?
No, this is the first time. Actually, I booked the show a few months back, and I thought, well, gee, you know, I might need a little bit of help. I didn't know how many tickets I'd be able to sell by just by my lonesome self, because I really don't play on the West Coast that much, my solo material. So I gave Bill a call, and from the Tubes, Bill Spooner from the Tubes, and asked if he would mind sharing the bill with me, and he said sure. So yeah, it should be a good night.
And is Bill from around here? So you live in the area?
Bill, yeah, Bill's a San Francisco native.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the Tubes are a Bay Area band.
Right. Well, maybe you guys can do a little song swapping.
Well, we will tonight.
Yeah.
One of Bill's songs is on my record. I covered one of his tunes on my new record. And Utopia, the band that I used to be in, along with Todd Rundgren, that's the band that did Set Me Free. The swan song for both bands in the form that they were most popular for... we did together. We did a co-bill tour in 1986, I think, and that was the last tour for both bands.
You played with Todd since then, though, right? I mean, he's
I've worked with Todd solo stuff, but there hasn't been any Utopia reunions in the past 20 years, I guess.
Right. Yeah. So when you play, are you playing guitar when you do the show tonight?
I play guitar and piano.
A little bit
of piano, mostly guitar, and tell some stories and. Just have some fun, you know.
Well, awesome. You got your guitar in, and so if you don't mind, can we hear a song? And then
sure,
you got all kinds of stuff I want to ask you. So
yeah, absolutely. We were talking about Utopia, and one of the songs from my record, I wanted to try and write a song that if Utopia was still together, you might hear on a Utopia record. And Todd plays on this song on my record, and so does Roger Powell, the keyboard player from Utopia. It's called Clocks All Stop. It goes like this. Nothing is certain. One day, who knows? Maybe I'll fly to the moon. I drew back the curtain to start the show, but the crowd already left the room. Maybe tomorrow light, the universe will agree. Yeah, right now these chemicals don't seem right, and the world is one big mystery. But the clocks all stopped the second you walked away. Time goes slow when you're waiting for the world to change. But the clocks all stopped the second you walked away. The hours drag into days when all the love I had was lost. The clocks all stopped.
Beautiful.
Yeah, thanks.
Cast some salt in everybody. And the new album, by the way, is called Three, and that's because it's your third album?
Yes, it is my third proper solo record.
And when did your first one come out? I remember.
Well, I did the first one in 1981. And I actually left Utopia to do the record. I quit the band, and it's a very long story. I'll try to give you the short version of it. But the first song that you played, "Set Me Free," was actually written to get off a record label. When I joined Utopia, we were all signed individually and collectively to Bearsville Records, and I wanted desperately to do a solo record, and I went to Albert Grossman, who was the president of Bearsville Records at the time, and I said, I'd like to do a solo record. I said, I'm signed to your label, you know, let's get it done. And he said, well, he said, you know, I submitted a bunch of demos to him, and he said, you're really not ready yet. And I said, I'm sorry, I think I am. And he said, no, I'm sorry, you're really not, take my word for it. And and I said, okay, well, I'll tell you what, I'm getting some interest from other labels, and why don't you just let me go record my record with someone else? And he said, okay, that'll be $50,000 and 5 points on your next record.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
So I signed with EMI. I paid Albert off, and that's when. But before that, just prior to that, when he laid those terms on me, that's when I wrote Set Me Free, which was the biggest hit that Utopia ever had. Actually,
great song.
Thanks.
A really great song. So, and you know, the first album was just called Chasm, right?
Yeah.
And I think you're wearing the same shirt size you wore back then.
I might be.
You look great, and your voice is still, pure. Oh, it sounds wonderful.
Thanks.
I really
appreciate that. Thank you. It's I don't know what it is. I don't take very good care of myself, you know, but I do. Well, my girlfriend says I do, yeah, but I'm. I'm very lucky. I'm very lucky.
Yeah, you're East Coast guy.
Yes,
grew up in New York. And what's your family name? Is it Turkey?
Sultan? Yeah. My grandfather on my father's side. I'm kind of a mutt, really. I'm part Greek, part Hungarian, part Polish, and we can't figure out what the last quarter is. It's either Turkish or Arabic. We're not really sure.
That's not a good answer, probably after 9/11 when you started flying.
Yeah. I was nervous about that. I actually was. I was very nervous about that. But my grandfather, I just found my grandfather's birth certificate, or not his birth certificate, but when he came here. He had to file some papers because he came through Ellis Island. Mm-hmm. And it said that he was born on the Isle of Sun. And if you try to find that on a map anywhere, the closest you can get is a resort area off the Saudi Arabia Peninsula. But there's really no place called the Isle of Sun. So who knows?
That's funny.
Who knows? I'm a Brooklynite.
How many kids when you were growing up?
Two brothers and a sister.
Uh huh.
Yeah, I'm the oldest.
Was everybody musical? Was there music going on all the time?
Brothers are. My sister's she was a graphic artist for a while before she became a school teacher. But my dad was a hobbyist. He was just, you know, he kind of had a guitar and he kind of played on the porch. We would sing like Jimmy Crack Corn and on top of Old Smokey and stuff like that.
Fun.
Yeah.
I read that the big moment was watching Ed Sullivan. Like
that was it.
On Ed Sullivan.
That did it for me. You know, that did, that changed my whole life.
So did you take lessons in school, or how do you learn how to play? Because you really are a great bass player. Really how you how I got to know you playing with Utopia.
I took about 6 months of lessons from this really cool guy with a red Cadillac convertible. He would. what I remember.
More validation,
him.
Right?
His name was, Ray Longobardi. and he'd give me like a lesson to do and then come in next week with it, and I'd never learn it, and he'd be like, okay, let's just go for a ride in the car,
awesome.
And he was a really, really cool guy. And then after 6 months of that, I'm not a good student. I was never a good student in school, and I barely made it out of high school by the skin of my teeth. And after 6 months, I decided that I was going to teach myself how to play. So since then, I'm just completely self-taught.
So piano was the first?
No, guitar was the first. Yeah,
okay.
Guitar was the first. And then I wanted to be in a band with these two guitar players that moved around the block from me on Staten Island, where I was living. And they needed a bass player. They didn't need a guitar player. And so I decided that I would play bass. I would become the bass player rather than not play with these two really good guitar players at 14 years old. I would become the bass player. So I sold the guitar that my dad bought me for Christmas a few Christmases before that. And I bought a bass, and a year later they kicked me out of the band because I didn't have an amplifier. So I went home crying. Crying to my mom, like, they threw me out of the band. Can you believe it? Oh, because I didn't
have
an amplifier.
And I sold my guitar.
So I said, I'll show them. I'm going to show them. And they're not in the music business anymore. I am. I don't know how much I showed them because this is just such a kooky business. But I get to do what I love to do more than anything.
Yeah, you seem to be someone that has really been in some. Awesome recording sessions. I mean, Meatloaf. Good Lord. I mean, when they put that thing together, you're playing with the guys in the E Street Band and Todd Rundgren.
Yeah, it was just the four of us, really. It was myself, Todd, Max Weinberg, the drummer from the E Street Band, and Roy Bittan, the piano player. We did that whole record top to bottom. We rehearsed it for 2 weeks, or 2.5 weeks. And we went into the studio, took another 2.5 weeks to record all the basic tracks. But all those basic tracks were just the four of us.
Wow.
Yeah.
And, you know, every time, how many millions of, bad out of hell, how many millions of copies? I mean,
they say something like 48 million. And it's the third biggest selling record of all time.
So when CDs came out, of course,
everyone bought it again.
And now the records are getting
scam.
Records are getting popular again. Woohoo, it's back out on vinyl.
Yeah, there you go.
there's been the Meatloaf VHS Storytellers and the 40th anniversary. Uh-huh. And
I produced that record, actually, the Meatloaf VH1 Storytellers record.
I know, and you're also the music director.
I was musical director for about 10 years.
Well, that's pretty heady stuff for a guy without a bass amp. You know, it's just like, hey, I'm a music director now.
I mean, it was pretty kooky because Meat's he's a character. You know, he's a wonderful guy.
Is that what you call him? Is Meat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But he's fickle. You know, he can get angry.
Well, you know,
he's gotten angry with me.
The music business was so different then because someone could have a hit and it stays forever. I mean, Bat Out of Hell. I mean, if someone, you couldn't do that again now. I mean,
someone
get popular now and you're popular for 15 minutes and you're just moving on. You know?
And the most amazing thing is that not only did it happen once, but lightning struck twice because then he came out in 93 was Bat Out of Hell 2. And he had disappeared. He'd fallen off the face of the earth between 80 and 92, I think. And then when Bat Out of Hell 2 came back out in 1993, that sold another 17 million records. And it's just unheard of, that kind of success.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know?
It really is.
Just how many people can say that?
So, besides playing with Todd Rundgren, you were a Black Heart playing with Joan.
I played with Joan for 3 years, 87, 88, and 89.
Did you see her in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I did. She mentioned me.
Oh, cool.
She actually dropped my name.
Oh,
yeah, and she
that's
went,
awesome.
You know,
that's
and the millions of other names that she said thank yous to during her induction speech, which I thought was really great. She didn't have to do that, you know.
Yeah.
She's a really, really cool person, and all the props to her for being one of the innovators. You know, I really think that Joan, you know, her manager is a really funny guy. His name is Kenny Laguna. And he always used to say, you know, Joni, she's the queen of rock and roll. She's the queen of rock and roll. There's nobody like Joan. Joan knows everything. She does everything. She knows everything. And
is he still around?
Kenny? Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was inducted, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was the guy with the cape. He looked like Zorro.
So he's like, I told you.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
That's something.
Yeah, yeah. I was real happy for her.
Kasem Sultan's here, everybody, and he's going to be at Hotel Utah tonight.
Hotel Utah tonight, 8 o'clock. Bill Spooner goes on, and then I go on right after that, 45 minutes later or something like that.
Can you play another song?
Sure. Let me...
That one that you played, the Clocks All Stop, that's off the new album. It's called 3, and it's great to hear the version of it that you did playing on your Martin here because the production... of this thing is so lush, and there's just so much going on. And I won't even mention how long it must have taken you to record, because if you look at between
two and three. I'm not a very prolific writer. I don't just churn them out every 9 months or 10 or 11 months like a lot of people do. I wish I could, but I don't work like that. And and I started writing this record in 2010, I think. I really started writing it, and it took me 4 years to complete. So
2010 doesn't sound like that long ago.
Not to us, anyway.
I know.
If we were 19, it would be like, oh man,
I look at
that's
stuff
forever
like,
ago.
This is kind of a new album, and I'll look and it'll be like 1995. Well, who knew? It seems like yesterday.
Well, so I'm going to play a song called that's off the record called God of Low, and it's about hating your boss, actually. If anybody's ever had a boss that they didn't like.
You kids at the record store, I hope you're not listening.
Well, hello, goodbye. Patronizing bulletin had to end. You can believe what's wrong is right. You can insist that black is bright or just off-white. While thousands watched in some hypnotic trance, well, I backed you up each little song and dance. But now I'm through with this charade. You should be certified insane. I'll take a sideline seat and watch your sad parade. I had to pull myself off the line. You're just too jealous, hard and unkind. Life is short and it was time to go. I'm gonna leave before it's too late. Goodbye, good luck, you'll be great. 'Cause you won't miss me, you're the God of Low. Well, they say you're overdone, you've got no voice. But you shout and you scream like somehow there's a choice. But baby, give yourself a break. You're not a fool, you're just a fake. And the truth is not an easy thing to face. I had to pull myself off the line. You're just too jealous, hard and unkind. Life is short and it was time to go. Too late. Goodbye, good luck, you'll be great. You will miss me, you're the God of Low. I was the one who said yes to please you. Those days are finally gone. Jealous, hard and unkind. Life is short and it was time to go. I'm gonna leave before it's too late. Goodbye, good luck, you'll be great.
Thank you.
That's a great song.
Thanks.
Yeah, I'm a god. He thinks I'm a god.
Well,
the god of Low.
We all are a little bit, aren't we? At least to ourselves.
That's great. So I want to ask you a couple things about the new album. And First of all, the beginning of it.
Yeah.
The introduction. What is? Can you tell me the story behind that?
Sure.
And I can also play it. Should I play it because it's short?
It's 53 seconds.
It's 53 seconds. Let me play it for everybody. It's called The Introduction. It's off Kassem Sultan's new album called Three.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Beautiful.
So I'm on the road, and I'm in Europe. I'm pretty almost positive I was in Germany with Meatloaf, because Meatloaf is very popular over there. And we used to spend 6 months out of the year touring Europe, mostly the UK, Germany, Norway, Sweden, Switzerland, Ireland.
Big places too, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. They tended to be like 10,000 to 15,000 seat arenas.
No coffee houses or anything.
houses. No intimate acoustic.
It's a big Meatloaf show.
Yeah, it's about big being big, you know. And inevitably, there are days off, and you got nothing to do, and you're just like in the middle of like Oberhausen or Saarbrücken, or Bern. Norway, and I used to carry this little hard disk recorder around with me for ideas, for song ideas. Mm-hmm. And I was just out one afternoon or one early evening. It was in the winter time. It was right around Christmas time. And I wandered into some church. I passed by a church that had the door open, and there was a choir rehearsing in the church. And I thought it sounded really great. They were, church choirs can be chancy at best.
Sure.
Walked in, I sat down, and I listened to them rehearse, and I recorded them on my little hard disk recorder, and that is from that little, that's just a little two-track recording of this choir rehearsing a Bach piece for Christmas, for
wow.
a Christmas show.
How cool is that? So the pictures on here, are these the people in the choir? No, I'm kidding. I know that they're
That's
not.
Another long story, actually.
Yeah, well, tell everyone the story of the cover of the album.
So, when I got the wild idea to do another record, which is for me a serious undertaking, I said, well, I need to fund it. I need to get started. I need to put some studio time together and pay for this and pay for that. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if I solicited the fans who are my fans to have their picture on the record? So I said, well, you send me a few dollars and send me a picture, and I'll put your picture on my record. I'll put your picture on the cover of the record. Well, originally what it was supposed to be was a mosaic of myself made up of pictures of right. the fans.
When did you have this idea?
I mean, in 2010.
A while ago. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
And so then what happened was everybody sent in their pictures and along with their few dollars. And what they got was they got a CD, a poster, and entered into a contest to have me come and play at their house. Not everybody, but just a couple of people. and then I proceeded to work on the record. I had some life issues that came up during the recording of the record, and people were starting to get a little antsy about it. And then I had a server crash. I lost all the pictures.
Whoa.
So everybody had to resubmit pictures. Everybody who put in for a picture got their picture on the record.
There's a lot of picture on.
Yeah, it's about 300. Maybe 350, something like that.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something. What else do I want to ask? I want to ask you about being in a Blue Oyster Cult. You're kind of like a hired gun with a lot of different groups. Like when the Cars did their, the new Cars got together, mm-hmm. they called you. And
That was me and Todd.
Okay. And then the Blue Oyster Cult. How'd that go down?
Well, I've been friends with those guys. We toured together. We had a horrible experience through Canada, Utopia and Blue Oyster Cult, in about 1978. We toured together. And we made it halfway across Canada in January, and just... I don't know if we made it to Vancouver or not, but we were supposed to have anyway.
Bad things ensued,
and it was just, you know, like buses breaking down, no ticket sales, management issues, whatever. So we became close. We became friends. The bands did.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I've remained close with Buck Dharma and Eric Bloom, the two main guys in the band. They had a bass player by the name of Rudy Sarzo, who also plays with Ozzy. And now, this is really not my cup of tea musically.
It is, it's different from that stuff.
It's different from me. And Rudy Sarzo left. He's a very, very great bass player, really, really cool guy, sweetheart. And he was their bass player for about 4 or 5 years. And they just, my phone rang one afternoon, and it was Buck Dharma said, "Listen, can you cover Rudy? He's not going to be here for a couple of shows. Can you cover him?" And I said, "Yeah, sure, no problem." And then that couple of shows wound up becoming, you know, a couple more and a couple more and a couple more. It's been about 3 years now that I've been playing with Blue Oyster Cult.
Cool.
Hey, listen, it's better than sitting home waiting for the phone to ring.
There you go. And you've got a bass named after you, right? Or did you design this bass?
I have a guitar that I was approached by a company a few years, about maybe about 6 or 7 years ago, Archer Guitars out of Wisconsin, and a good buddy of mine who runs the company said, "We really want to do a bass, your signature model guitar." I said, "Absolutely, no problem." I said, "Under one condition. That I design every piece of the instrument and that it's affordable." Because when a kid goes into a music store these days, or at least, you know, a few years ago, and he looks at a bass on the wall and he says, "I want that one," and it's $2,500, and a parent says, "I'm sorry, you know, you're not going to get that bass. You're going to get the $300 bass or the $400 bass." I wanted my bass to be affordable to that kid. So I came up with this design, and I chose the electronics, I chose the wood, I chose the pickups, I chose the hardware, and it's $400. And it's I use the bass on stage. It's exactly the same guitar that's in the store. And
that's
it's
awesome.
It's a great guitar.
It's a beautiful bass.
Yeah, it is.
Because I saw a picture of the bass, and I clicked it to see what kind of bass it was. Like, hey.
That's a Kasem Sultan bass.
Kasem.
How do you like that?
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah.
But look at what somebody asked for.
Yeah. So you recorded with so many different people. I mean, tell us some of the names. I mean, if you know, Hall & Oates.
Yeah, I did a record with Daryl and John. It was actually a compilation record. They were. It was a couple of tracks on a record that was a tribute to Elton John.
Two rooms, or
yeah, two rooms. Right. Yeah. I mean, I've done Steve Hillage, which is like, you know, that's an obscure name. That was a
Prague guy.
Yeah, that was the first record that I ever did. The first record that I ever recorded.
Wow, and you were the bass player on that album?
Yes.
Yeah, he was, you know.
Don Cherry's on that record.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, Steve Hillage was big in the Prague world.
Yes.
You know, I mean,
he still is, really, I think.
You know, the big hairy guys, you know, listen to Steve Hillage.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And
you're nodding your head.
Or the other ones are like, you know, people like Steve Stevens. I'm on a Steve Stevens solo record.
From Billy Idol's band.
From Billy Idol's band, yeah. I play on with the Indigo Girls on a couple of tracks on one of their records.
And did I read you were with you did Patti Smyth and Patti Smith?
Patti Smyth and Patti Smith. Yeah, I played on Patti Smith's Dream of Life. And then I played on Patti Smyth's Downtown Train, that album, or whatever that album is. I don't know.
Wow.
And Celine Dion. I'm on a Celine Dion record, Falling Into You. I'm on that.
Patti Smith and Celine Dion. Go figure. That is so awesome. I want to ask you something else about one of the songs here that Fell in Love for the Last Time.
Mm-hmm.
It has this chorus that almost sounds like a stadium rock or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's epic.
And
how do you write something, you know, when you're a guitar guy and you're, you know, have an acoustic guitar and do you write it on the acoustic guitar thinking big, this will be a big recording?
That song was that was one of the first songs that was that was written for the record.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that record started, really. And I wrote it with a buddy of mine, Phil Thornley, in London. And we just sat down with two acoustic guitars. There was another guy in the room, a guy by the name of John Green, who co-wrote as well. Great songwriter. And we just started talking ideas. And, you know, like you get a lyric idea. And then it's like, then you get a chord change. And you look around for another chord change. And look around for another lyric. And, you know, a lot of choruses these days are like that—the woes and the yes and the ha's and the ah.
Well, it sounds like something like they would end the movie with this song. Or
yeah,
something.
Well, from
like,
your lips, you know, from your lips to God's ears.
You
that'd be great if there were any musicals.
Can I play it?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. It's a great song.
I want to play.
That's the next, quote unquote, single from the record.
There you go. It's called "Fell in Love for the First Time" and
for the last time.
For the last time.
Big difference.
There is a big difference. Sorry. Anyway, everybody, listen. Turn up your radios and listen to the epicness. Is that a
yes?
Is that a good word?
Epicapacity.
Turned a corner and saw her face. All at once I believed. I was sure that it was fate smiling back at me. All the stars. Half alive on a ship of fools.
Beautiful. Kasim Sultan from the new album, Three. And I'm just imagining people lighting their headliners on fire with their cigarette lighters in their car. Yeah. Oh, it's epic.
Be careful.
Yeah, be careful. So good. Do you? Is there anything that you have that you'd like to accomplish, or that I always want to do this, or something that you haven't done?
I'm going to go on vacation next week. I haven't done that in a really long time. Susie and I are going away.
Good for you.
So that should be fun.
That's on my list, too.
But and we're only going for a couple of days down south. But is there anything that... Yeah, I think I'd like to do another record. You know, I think that that with each record, I get a little closer to what I think is some really, really good stuff. This is the best work that I've done in my career, and my career has spanned 40 years now. So if I can put together another record in the next couple of years, that'd be great. And I love doing live shows. I love doing my music for nice intimate audiences and small crowds, and I'd like to keep doing that. So as long as I can do that, I'm happy.
Does it have you been thrown off when you get calls like from Blue Oyster Cult, like when you're in the middle of doing something or playing something? And
it's tough. It's tough juggling stuff, because there's sometimes some things come up where I'd rather do that, but then I'm torn between my commitment to one thing and then wanting to do another thing but not being able to have the time to do it. But usually things work out the way they're supposed to, don't they? You know,
seems like it.
Yeah, they just work out the way they...
Are you an East Coaster for life? Or are you gonna...
I was just talking about it, we were driving through San Francisco.
Those winters out there.
It's horrible. It's horrible. And I was like, I could live out here. I definitely could live in San Francisco, or at least the Bay Area.
Well, like the weather today, this is like how it is in the winter.
Yeah, I know.
You
know,
it's a little colder.
And I'm a little tired. I'm a little tired of shoveling snow, really.
Yeah. Well, you know, I grew up in Southern California. It's like I went to Colorado for the first time, and I had like a jacket.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like I was just not prepared for it.
Yeah.
And the older you get.
It was pretty brutal. This wasn't such a bad winter, but they get really, really bad in the East Coast and the Northeast.
Yeah. Kasim Sultan, everybody. He has got a new release. It's called Three. We've been playing it here on KRCB, and he's going to be performing tonight at Hotel Utah. Go see him. Bill Spooner is going to be there.
Yeah.
What's that kind of stuff?
Prairie Prince is playing drums, too.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry?
What kind of set does he do? Tube
Bill?
Stuff? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll do some tube stuff. He wrote some great songs with the tubes, like Don't Want to Wait Anymore, and there's a few other things that he'll probably do, and then we'll do a couple of songs together.
You know, Vince Welnick has moved up here.
Yeah.
And I got to know him.
Yeah, Vince was a great guy.
He was a really great
guy. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy. Real sweetheart.
Yeah. The first time I met him, I was going to a rehearsal. We were practicing for a show that was actually a benefit for KRCB Radio.
Yeah.
And I figured, well, I get out of my car, I'm going to see him over in the parking lot, I'm going to go over and introduce myself to him. Mm-hmm. So just as I start walking to him, he was taking a hit off a joint, and he got into this coughing fit that he just could not stop coughing. He's like, he's bent over. Yeah. So I'm halfway, I've got my guitar, and I'm halfway to him, and then halfway like, there. So I'd make the little turn and go drop my guitar off, and eventually did meet him. But what a good guy. What a talented dude.
An absolute sweetheart.
How about another guy I want to ask you about is Roger Powell. Because when I had a friend that I still play music with, he had Roger Powell's program that ran the sequencer. And you're in a band with a guy that is writing programs, and Todd Rundgren is like one of the first guys to make an album where he does all the parts. I mean, working around some pretty
They're pretty intense people. I mean, Roger is he's in the Bay Area, you know. He's down in Cupertino or Pacifica. And he's brilliant, just an absolute brilliant guy. We were living together, he and I. We shared a house up in Woodstock when I first joined the band in 76. And he built he built a computer from his, you know, just in the living room of the house that we were sharing. And I was like, well, that's pretty cool. But I had no interest in it whatsoever at that point.
It's funny because when my buddy Dean had that program, I think it was called Textures, the sequencers and stuff. I just thought, like, man, Dean is so brilliant. He's recording things on a computer. Mm-hmm. It's like, how would anyone ever do that?
And yeah.
Now no one
has now to, you can't do it any other way. Yeah. You know, it's like, go try to find a recording studio with a tape machine in it.
Cost you $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, man, for
coming. No, thank you. Thank you for having me. I really, really appreciate you having me into the studio.
We could just keep going and yakking because you're...
Absolutely.
You are like the most interesting man in the world.
Well, no, I don't know about that. When I drink, which I don't, I prefer water. Thank you.
That's why your voice is still so pure. I get it. Okay.
Today, anyway.
Kasem Sultan, everybody. He is at Hotel Utah tonight. Go down to San Francisco and see him and... go up to the Last Record Store and pick up a copy of his new album. It's called Three. And thank you. Well, I want to leave everybody with a song off this. Which got a
probably
pick one.
A good one would be the last song on the record, Fade Away.
Okay,
I think that's a nice song. Thank you so much, Doug.
Thank you. It's KRCB FM Windsor Santa Rosa Radio 91 and Kasem Sultan. Thank you so much, man.
Forgiveness another 100 times. I could ask you to forget and pay the facts no mind. But words don't really matter, the truth will never change. I'm trying to unbreak your heart so we can start again. And you didn't have to take me back, you did not have to stay. Something kept you holding on for another day. And I can promise you, you won't regret the choice that you have made. We can set the clock to now and let the past just fade away. Sure as there's a reason why it all went wrong, the question isn't what was done, but how do we move on? Can we break this silence with nothing left unsaid? And find a place to put the tears we never had to shed? You didn't have to take me back, you could have said goodbye. After all the broken dreams, after all the lies, to now and let the past just fade away. Said goodbye. After all the broken dreams, one too many lies. And I can promise you, you won't regret the choice that you have made.